Good morning, everybody.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Hello, hello, happy holidays, and welcome to another edition of the Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. I am your host, Aaron Robinson, podcasting from the Central States Marketing Studios, located literally on the state line. I might be on that line right now. Actually, I moved the desk, so I can see it, like Patrick Mahomes can see that first down marker. Anyways, really cool show lined up today. It's, you know, that time of year where you kind of start looking forward to 2022 and what's coming. And I think if you're in Kansas City, you're always excited to hear about what Boulevard has coming around the corner. And so in what is kind of a first for CS Bev Podcasts, we have a roundtable sort of discussion. Kyle Kleiser and Adam Hall, both from Boulevard Brewing Company, are in to talk all things Boulevard. We cover barrel-aged beers. We cover non-alcoholic beers. We cover Space Camper. We cover Quirk. We cover Fling. We cover Tank 7. The works. Maybe even some holiday karaoke. Great conversation across the board. I can't wait to get into it. But first, this could have been an email. Ah, yes, that new segment, This Could Have Been an Email. Let's dive right in. It is a great season for Samuel Adams right now as we transition away from the Oktoberfest, a legend within its own right, to the also legendary Winter Lager. I'm normally about a case in of that at this point. Might be slacking. But I'm on it, because we've got cases going all around the Moside Metro and starting to show up on tap. Between that and the Beers for Cheers variety pack, Sam Adams, just go get some. While you're at it, make sure to grabst a Pabst. I don't think I've actually ever said that out loud in person, and it's pretty cool. The legendary Blue Ribbon beer is all around the Kansas City Metro and ready for cheersing. Hey, it's a classic. It's a classic time of year. It's a classic beer. Get your Pabst. Grabst a Pabst. I had to say it twice. It's also a great time of year to be prosting, and we have a brand new Prost to do the prosting with. Prost Winter Lager, a Bock-style beer in the German tradition. Canned and kegged. Holy cow. Go get some of this. But if you're really looking for that patio sipper on a crisp November evening, you gotta break out the Union Horse. In particular, big fan of the Rolling Standard 4-grain whiskey. Midwestern born, grain to glass, on shelves, should be in your hand. Let's go. Let's also talk another really great, just classic beer that's available year-round, but really good right now. Guinness. It's a good season for drinking, but it's also a good season for giving. And so Guinness has kind of paired the two, if you didn't know, with a Guinness Gives Back America package. This holiday season, a portion of proceeds for every Guinness Gives Back 8-pack sold goes to a charitable organization around the U.S. to help support those who have long supported Guinness. These guys have been making such a huge effort throughout this entire pandemic. For every bar and restaurant impacted, we're just going to keep it going. Get your Guinness on. We got plenty of cases going around the Moside Metro. But talking about the both side metro, holy cow, there's a lot of stuff coming out of Martin City. From the brand new seasonals like the Holiday Apple Ale to the known tried and true classic like the Hardway IPA, get your hands on some Martin City Brewing Company. I think it's no secret everybody's kind of planning for next week and all the calories we're about to consume. You may as well leave those calories on the plate and don't worry about putting them in your glass with the light and refreshing seltzers we have hitting market. From the big guns like the Truly Holiday Pack, featuring four incredibly festive flavors, to four different variety packs from Vizzy, including the lemonade and watermelon packs, to even just, you know, what's coming down to Springfield. Mother's Ready Hard Seltzer, blackberry lemon, cherry limeade, all around shelves right now. Getting your seltzer on has never been easier, or more delicious for that matter. But for the beer folk that don't want to be weighed down by, you know, the heaviness of beer, you really got to be trying Holidaily gluten-free beer. Riva Stout, flying off shelves right now, but also just the classic Big Henry Hazy IPA. Get your hazy for the holidays. Huh? Huh? This guy knows what's up. I pointed. I don't know if you saw. And also, again, gotta mention, the Crane Variety Pack. Six different beers. One variety pack. Straight out of Raytown. Crane is not coming into this holiday season chill. Pick up this variety pack and rip into some awesome, awesome Crane beers. All right. That was the November edition of This Could Have Been an Email. Just some things to remind you about heading into the holiday season. And always remember, this could have been an email. All right. Fun's been had. We got to talk holidays. We got to talk what's on the shelves right now. But most importantly, we really got to hear about what's coming. Because what Boulevard has brewing right now is amazing. I can't wait to get into it. So without further ado, Mr. Kyle Kleiser, Mr. Adam Hall, Boulevard Brewing Company, let's go. Everybody's got their sheets in front of them, all the information they need.
I'm turning mine over. I memorized it.
Nice. That was very quick. Not that it was even needed. It's like you already know what you're talking about. You've done how many of these presentations and meetings? And
oh, good. Yeah, it's that time of year, man.
How sick of you of looking at this calendar?
It's not the calendar I'm sick of looking at. It's PowerPoint slides right now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. My eyes are bleeding.
Yeah.
Watching those.
Yeah.
Oh, ABP season. It's always so much fun. But so is the winter holiday season of, the Central States Ounces of Information podcast. It is the November edition, and a very exciting edition because I get to try something new with this one. We've been doing this for, about a year or so, and every single time it's been like an interview with a supplier or somebody coming in and having a conversation with, and in that one-on-one interaction, which is great, but I've really wanted to do like just this roundtable sort of vibe. And I get the chance to today. And who better to do that with than Kansas City's own brewery, Boulevard? Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, happy to be here.
High five.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see that, but, you can definitely hear it, though. High five happened. With me today is Adam Hall and Kyle Kleiser. I'm so excited that both of you decided to join. How are you guys?
I'm golden, man. I'm golden. I think last week I was in Texas when you had reached out, and I was like, dang it. I really wanted to go on this, and then you were kind enough to push it back a week.
Oh,
so
I couldn't.
Thank you.
I couldn't do it without you.
Yeah,
couldn't
yeah.
do it without you.
Well, after last year, I got a lot of feedback, and it was like, bring a friend. I don't want to hear your voice the entire time.
Right.
And I heard that, Martin.
That's not the feedback I got. So I'm happy to hear that now. Almost 12 months to the day,
yeah.
sort of vibe. So
yeah.
This is good. Kyle, welcome back.
Thanks,
Adam. Glad you're here.
Happy to be here.
Let's talk Boulevard, and let's talk briefly here, like 2021, and what a freaking weird year it was for, not just everybody, but, Boulevard, the brewing industry and everything involved. What would stand out to you the most about this last year?
It's hard to say, like, from the marketing point of view, we don't get to see what's happening on the street as much, but I will tell you what, this year has been really exciting watching the on-premise open back up. And I say on-premise, but watch bars and restaurants open up and then starting to see those tap handles fill back up. So that's been, for me, really exciting to see. The shift from the retailers back into the on-premise again.
Yeah, and that, even with our local team, speaking of about them, like, there was no on-premise to mess with in 2020 for the most part,
yeah.
right? And so we were so focused on off-premise, and as things start to reopen and handles are popping back on, you're like, oh, man, I got to retrain my brain to, like, think about some of this stuff. And so that's been super cool to kind of activate around that and do some fun things and get back to doing fun stuff in the on-premise too, not just showing up, showing them new seasonal, but like activating around brands in the on-premise, doing some fun things as well.
Yeah. Seeing tours come back, you know, at the brewery, that's been another exciting thing because we were without tours for almost a year.
Oh yeah.
And that's something that our brewery is known for. We make the top 10 list every year nationwide of the best brewery tours. So it's really cool to kind of see you always make the joke, you're driving down the highway and you see deers cross the highway and you're like, nature's coming back. It's that way when you're walking through the brewery and you're just going from one meeting to the other and you've got to high five a whole big tour group and they're just excited to be there to, drink beer and buy a shirt or a candle because we do that now.
We have candles?
Oh, yeah. Nutcracker candles are great, man.
I can second that. I got
a
couple. I
haven't been down there for 2 days, so there's probably something down there I've missed.
I haven't used the Nutcracker beer balm. It's very nice.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. It's great.
Great smell. Mm-hmm. Wife loves it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Okay. Yeah. Kyle, I recommend it.
Tis the season.
Thank you. I will look into that.
But no, it was a really good call out, and you're absolutely right. How crazy was it to, like, when the on-premise first started opening back up, to go from, like, maybe one tap handle to two to now it's like, holy crap, there's a variety.
Yeah.
I have options,
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and there was a big you could see a shift of, size of like the kegs. You know, some retailers opting to go to smaller kegs.
Right, right.
Just to kind of like cover their butts to make sure there's nothing crazy happening. And now that's slowly moving, but...
You know, Beer Fest is another big thing. Oh, we did that thing at the zoo, and it was just so great. And you could tell, like, everybody was just so happy to be back out and, like, trying all these different beers and just, you know, crushing that last half hour. Like, I don't care what it is. Just give it to me. Whatever, what do you guys got the strongest beer? I want that. And then I did an expo in Texas where we basically sampled beer to people, to large groups of people again. And it was kind of like everybody's so tentative at first. But then after a couple of beers, people kind of get into it. And it's that feeling is great again.
How was the tolerance of the crowd?
Honestly, it's great. I think that while people were stuck at home, they were just crushing it. You know, like, and here's the thing we saw with our barrel aged beers during the height of the pandemic. All of our barrel aged stuff, like high ABV stuff, really started running off of the shelves because, and we can only hypothesize, right, that people were, you know, like, you're not going out to a bar and you want, like, I'm not going to try an Imperial Stout if I know I'm going to be out all night.
Right.
But if I'm home, I'm like, well, shit, I don't have to drive home. Right? I'm going to take a chance on these big, boozy, barrel-aged beers. And so we saw a real uptick in those. And so I think that maybe people's tolerance got a little bit better, you know, while they were stuck at home because they were drinking professional-grade beer.
I'm no scientist, but I think there is some really good math behind that, most likely. What we talked about what stood out the most. What do you want to see go into 2022, and what can stay in 2021?
I don't want to see anything go away. I mean, something that I'm looking forward to next year, too, is to see how our NA game goes.
Yeah.
You know, because we got into the non-alcoholic beer game. Hey, you know what's really funny? So we have this. Have you been in the hallway that goes to the bathroom? Look, we're letting you guys into the brewery right now. But when we go from
the hallway.
So from Kyle and I's office to the bathroom, there's a bunch of like newspaper prints that have been framed over the years. Like, you know, John McDonald celebrates 10 years, right? Yeah. Or there's an article about when Boulevard launched in Lawrence. You know, it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But there's this one article that's talking about how John McDonald, the founder of the company, had grown the company. And at the end of the article, and it was like, John McDonald that says Boulevard's never going to put his beer in a can. He's never going to make a light beer, never going to make a non-alcoholic beer. And you like look at the date, and it's like 1999. It's like, we never say never, right? Because we did all those things in this past year. We've put beer in can. We have a light beer. You know, kind of, and then NA beer. But the NA beer is like, you know, it's just like the quirks. People would come to the brewery all the time and ask for something that was either gluten intolerant or like, I don't really drink, but, you know, I'm a fan of what you do. And we would have to turn them away. So now we've got that whole segment of people that we can reach out to, that people don't have to sacrifice flavor or quality anymore, you know, but still be able to enjoy a beer. So I'm really excited to see how the NA beers go. And if it goes well, I think that's something we could lean into maybe a little bit more. You know, we just have the IPA, the Flying Start, and that beer is an IPA. You know, it's sometimes NA beers are really like wordy, really tea-like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they were able to, Stephen was able to make a really great hop forward, really like quality IPA in this NA beer. So I'm excited to kind of see. I mean, it's a fringe for us. You know, it's not a priority. You know, it's not something that I don't think we'll ever be known for doing NA beers. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yeah, I'm too. It just we just dropped it in October, right?
Yep.
Not re-release, but brought it back. And I need to sit down and look at the data, but I'll be fascinated because I was at a liquor store down on Westport a few months ago before we brought it back out, and I saw three people in a row purchasing NA beers. One person buying a 12-pack.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, whoa. Like, it was just shocking to see that in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like 12:30, right?
It's crazy when you give them options, you know?
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's a good sign. Like, I love seeing that. So that was really neat to see. So I need to sit back and kind of look at some data, as they say, and review that. But super pumped for the future of Flying Start or NA in general.
Yeah, I think you both are actually dead on with the whole NA thing. And, you know, just kind of even jumping right into that, I actually, this last weekend I spent at a bachelor party, and I was one of the, like, organizers of that bachelor party. And so, you know, obviously being the organizer, you got to stay on it while everybody else around you is right, basically going the polar opposite of that. And I leaned heavily on the Flying Start in AIPA because it keeps you in the game a little bit longer. And that's my own personal story. But just as much as there is that one, there's a dozen other stories for why somebody would want to drink a non-alcoholic IPA.
Keeps you in the game a little bit longer. That should be on the t-shirt.
Yeah,
right? That's
the
Flying Start t-shirt right there.
I won't even charge you. It's fine.
All right.
That's good. Look, you know, let's talk about 2022 and everything that Boulevard Brewing Company in particular has coming up
sure.
As far as innovations. It looks like We just talked about NA, but let's go the other side. Let's talk about the barrel age stuff that you were leading into.
Yeah.
There is a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so our barrel age program has continued to grow over the years. And we're something like, when we saw the numbers this year with the Brewers Association, I think we're like number five as far as the size of our barrel age program. Our barrel library has grown to surpass 5,000 barrels now, which is banana cakes.
Impressive.
To me. I mean, it really is wild. We had a few years ago, we had to relocate all of our barrels from where we were storing them to a much, much bigger warehouse because we just outgrew it. And so with that, you know, we've developed great relationships with distilleries and like barrel brokers. And so, you know, they're coming to us with like, hey man, I have this really wild stack of barrels. They're port wine barrels that previously held rye whiskey barrels. Do you want them? And of course we're like, well, duh. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't know what we're going to do with them, but you know, we'll find something. Right. And so, you know, that was 2 years ago. Right. And, our brewers, they found something really creative for it. And so that'll be the first big barrel aged kind of innovative beer this year will be proper pour in February. But then also we have such amazing access to these barrels that allows us to do things like have year round barrel aged beers, which really consistent. So like bourbon barrel quad, whiskey barrel stout. And now starting in January, rye on rye, which was like our first barrel aged beer 10, 12 years ago. We can now do that with the consistency and, you know, year round, like we've always wanted to, because we have access to these world-class distillery barrels. So
absolutely. And you mentioned one of the first ones coming out next year with the proper pour. What's the marketing reason behind the name proper pour?
So a few years ago we did a beer called Cabernet Cask. You probably remember. I mean,
I love Cabernet Cask.
And that is the reaction we get from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we always wanted to work with wood that had held these big, rich wines, right? We get a lot of really great like tannin and some sweetness and stuff from the wine that was previously in there. But we wanted to recreate that, and it's a little bit challenging to be like, to order, like, can we get some Cabernet barrels? So when those port wine barrels came, we're like, well, let's kind of recreate that. Let's do what we can. Let's recreate Cabernet Cask. And we initially were going to call it Cabernet Cask because people are familiar with it, right? Mm-hmm. It elicited the same response that you did. Our vice president of sales and marketing, Bobby Dextra, he was like, oh, shit, we're going to recreate Cabernet Cask. He was like super excited about
it.
But then we started talking about it, like, well, it's kind of like deceiving if we call it Cabernet Cask, because that name has equity when it wasn't Cabernet barrels.
Sure.
So they were port barrels. So we're like, all right, if this is a trend or this is something we're going to continue to do, which is to take barrels that previously held wine and whiskey specifically, we might want to create a name or, you know, I hate to say a series because you just never know what's going to come. But we want to give it a name that kind of conveys what you're into, you know, like in Portugal when they drink, you know, port wine, the pinky up, right? There's like a proper way to drink it, you know, neat in a snifter glass. And so we thought, well, you know, there's a proper way to drink this too, would just be in a glass, right? You don't need to put anything else in there. So the name proper pour just kind of like, it's got great alliteration. It's easy to say, it's got good callability, but it also allows us to change the style tag. So next year, if we, and I'm not predicting the future here. I just mean like, if we get barrels that have like a Bordeaux or like a Madeira barrel or something like that, then it allows us to use that name. You know, this is the proper pour 2023 and it's an imperial stout aged in whatever big, rich wine barrel. So we hope that proper pour name has that callability, that familiarity that we could continue to grow that year after year if we get access to those great barrels.
You know, it's just so exciting to know that it's Cabernet Cask too.
Oh,
like granted, like it's not as large of an audience as you know, you're going for with the whole proper pour, because not everybody knows that beer.
Sure.
Not everybody remembers that beer. But
right.
For those that do,
yep.
This is really exciting.
Right.
I think one of the really cool things that Boulevard has in Kansas City, and it's through just decades of hard work and getting to where, you know, you guys are, is that most beer drinkers in KC, they're going to, you know, expand the realm of craft and everything that it has to offer, especially as this continues to grow, even in a local focus. But as often as you go to that liquor store and you look on the shelves and you're like, well, I've never seen that. But I've also never seen that Boulevard too. So I'm going to get this.
Right.
But I'm also going to pick up this Boulevard as well.
Yeah.
And that's just the really, really cool thing that like everybody's going to give it at least a shot.
Yeah. I mean, we do, you know, and we're very well aware that we have that equity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are like, whoa, I'll buy anything the Boulevard puts out, you know, if it's new. But, you know, so we just can't, you know, crap in a glass and put it out there and then
right,
hope
right.
that, you know, like, oh, people are going to buy it because it's got a Boulevard name on it. We also want people to buy it again.
Right.
You know, so that name, a lot of times here in Kansas City, we'll get people to buy it the first time. But really, it's the beer and what's inside, we hope, is what gets people to buy it again, or at least go looking for it again.
Right. Yeah. And this looking over this calendar is really just more of a testament to that, too, is that you know that you have that kind of equity, but you also don't take it for granted.
Right.
No, it's very much appreciated, trust me. And that's, you know, we're talking about all these innovations with the barrel age lineup, as well as, you know, rye on rye going year round, which is a massive, massive thing. But also just going through the regular seasonal release. This isn't changing.
No.
Irish Ale, Zone. Bob's 47 Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
There would be right. riots in Kansas City if we didn't do Irish Ale or Bob's 47.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean,
I was receiving multiple calls and emails like, Nutcracker, where is it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know, man. Just sit tight.
That guy on Twitter that says bring back 80 Acre every day, he would, I mean, he'd start a full-on campaign. He would picket the brewery. And there would be,
Shout out that guy. He got his wish.
He sure did.
Hold on. It's just the one guy?
Yeah. we got to look at
Squeaky
name.
Wheel. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one guy. It's every post.
It doesn't matter where he posts it. It's
bring
like,
back
you know,
80 Acre.
Today we planted 10,000 trees with Arbor Day Foundation. This guy, first reply, bring back 80 Acre.
Of course. He's got a bot set up. Probably. That's just all it is.
The best was if you go back through Twitter when it wasn't like a post, it'd be like, hey, today is such such day at the brewery, come, you know, whatever, and he was like, bring back 80 Acre, and we're like, hey, this adventure pack that's on shelves right now, 80 Acre's in it, and he was like, oh,
thanks,
crickets.
Well, you know, just going over this innovations calendar and the 2022 release calendar, I don't see 80 Acre on there, so we can just nip that in the bud now. Yep. But you know, never say never,
Pick up the Adventure 12 pack. Is all I'm saying.
It's 80
Acre.
Right now.
It's out there right now. It'll be in the spring as well.
It is. You know, don't necessarily sit on it because beer does have a code date.
Correct.
But, you know, that's what it is. Let's talk a little bit about another one of those Boulevard staples, the unfiltered wheat, and it's gone some innovations over the last couple of years with the unfiltered mix pack, the kiwi unfiltered wheat, the grapefruit unfiltered wheat, the dry hopped unfiltered wheat, which is 80 Acre, right?
Like, that's what it is. We tried to scratch that itch for you a little bit.
I'm going to pause that and just make sure that everybody knows. But grapefruit's really getting kind of a glow up this go around.
Yeah, grapefruit and wheat, you know, those two flavors just, wheat already has a little bit of citrus to it. And so all you're doing is you're just kind of like amplifying that a little bit and then adding that extra depth that grapefruit will add. So, you know, we always kind of use the brewery as like a test, and we have forever, as like a way to test new beers. So a lot of new beers will have gone through a small batch and then like no name, but just come down, you know, go to the brewery, you can try this beer and it's a test beer and it's, you know, maybe a few barrels and then it's gone. But while grapefruit wheat was on tap in the beer hall, it outsold everything else by like leaps and bounds. So it's like, it's almost like we're getting that market research that we needed just to kind of confirm our suspicions that this beer is delicious and people are digging it. And now we saw that people were buying it over everything else that we had on tap at the moment. So that gave us the information that we needed to say, you know what, maybe grapefruit wheat can break out of this mix pack, be given its own time to shine and, you know, package and draft. So you'll be able to find it at a retailer or you'll be able to find it when you're out watching college basketball in the spring.
Yeah.
There was a hot minute there last year. I want to say it was like July ish.
Hot. That was a hot.
Right
one.
As it was literally hot.
Literally
minute,
hot.
Hot minute there for Boulevard and in particular the on premise because we mentioned about the on premise starting to kind of open back up and that was a slow burn around that time too. But you know as the vaccinations were rolling out and as people were starting to get out a little bit more and go into things like brunch again, Boulevard had the grapefruit unfiltered wheat on draft, which was very much a brunch beer. Mm-hmm. And then the Tiki Slam Sour Ale came out too, which was just, you guys are just really cornering the brunch market. There was no competition and no chill there. Like that was awesome. So you talk about grapefruit wheat coming in six pack cans as well as draft back for 2022. Let's talk about Tropic Slam now as we approach this next go around. Are we getting more of this stuff?
So yes. So Tropic Slam, we are making more of it and it should be, maybe we need to talk about it, maybe we don't, but Tropic Slam is Tiki Slam. We just, we realized a little too late last year that the word tiki could be, you know, it's considered culturally insensitive. There was a whole movement last year that if you read any of the trades or any of the industry magazines, there's this cocktail culture that kind of embraced the tiki culture for a hot second. And it like propelled it into the, you know, like pop culture, popular, you know, was in everyone's view. And then quickly people came out of the woodwork and was like, hold on a second. You're actually appropriating an entire culture here. This is this Polynesian culture. And fortunately for us, we weren't really leaning heavily on Polynesian iconography, which is usually what's appropriated. So usually you see, like, you know, the objectification of Polynesian women, or using like tiki idols, which is a religious iconography. So fortunately, we didn't go in that hard, but the word tiki was a little bit insensitive. I shouldn't say a little bit. It was like people called it out. It's like, maybe just be careful when you use this. So rather than doubling down and just make it, the thing about Tiki Slam too is, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. Last year we put Tiki Slam out, and as it built up the momentum and everybody was talking about it, the season ended. And it's just like, it was like abrupt. So
we got a lot of the, where can I get
this?
Yeah,
where can I find this?
Sorry.
So, you know, rather than double down, we realized it's just a name, right? It's just a name. We can change a name.
Right. The beer is the same.
We can change the name. The beer is exactly the same. The package doesn't really look any different except for the word. And we hope that that word Tropic Slam will still kind of capture those island escape vibes. But the beer is exactly the same. And yes, we have extended the season, I should say, this year, so that you will have, you should be able to enjoy this beer. I would love to say all season long, all summer long.
Sure.
But that's kind of the plan, is to take you well into the summertime. And then when Tropic Slam goes away, we have another beer in like the Slam series. I'm doing air quotes. I know no one can see me on the podcast, but I'm not quite sure how to do the audio version of air quotes.
That's a good call out, though.
Yeah, like a sarcasm. Yeah, like the Slam series. But we have a beer that's following that will also kind of capture those great tropical island vibes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, the conversation was happening about the name change, right? And I think you mentioned the Mandela effect. Like, oh, yeah. 10 years and be like, it's always been called Tropic Slam. I don't know what.
Right. Yeah. Slam. What are you talking about?
Just really mess with everybody.
Yeah. No, yeah, not say anything. Just, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think, you know, clarification is important. And so people, it is good to know that it's the exact same beer. Yes. It's a different name. You're not buying it for the name. You're buying it for the beer.
Correct.
Oh, and the beer is amazing.
Like, it is.
It's right in my wheelhouse. Pineapple, orange, guava. I mean, yep. It's got everything. It reminds me of.
Just hard enough to make you thirsty for one more, you know. But
I can't wait.
You know those cans of staple fruits of pineapple and guava. No, get a taste of the tropics with the Tropic Slam, and grapefruit wheat, which is even more exciting because, you know, 1-2 punch. There's your brunch.
Yep.
Oh yeah, we do have the brunch market. Absolute corn.
That's our plan.
And then you throw some Tank 7 in there with some OJ.
Yep. Tank 7 or Calling, either one with a little bit of OJ in it.
Oh my God. Good night. Oh man. Yep. You guys, you don't plan on making it much past brunch, do you? No,
we don't. We'll see how that's going.
Yeah. The official beers of Naps.
touche. And you know, again, Tank 7's coming back next year, right? I sure hope so. There was a question there. It was lingering for a moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, it's never been in doubt. Tank 7 is coming back stronger than ever. We have some really big plans for Tank 7 next year. There's one thing that in particular that people have been asking for over and over and over, and we think we're going to, again, scratch that itch this summer. So stand by for more.
All right. A little tease.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay. Okay. Next up, we got to talk Space Camper.
Yeah.
The big IPA in the room.
Let's do it. And the saga continues.
How much Space Camper is too much Space Camper?
I don't think we've hit that ceiling yet.
I agree. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So Space Camper's coming back next year. Space Camper's also getting a pretty big overhaul. You'll notice, like, it'll still be super recognizable. Not getting a name change. Space Camper's not insensitive.
Okay.
but it is going to get... So we did one thing we realized this past year, you know, Space Camper, we wanted to grow, I don't know, it's hard to say. So IPAs are, like, one of those categories where we have a lot of options, a lot of room for growth. And maybe not like we can't put out 10 IPAs and keep them on the shelf year round. So the Space Camper gave us a really good opportunity for our brewers to get really creative using hops as a brewing ingredient, because there's just a wide variety of styles and that subsegment's growing every year. But it also allows us to kind of play around with the whimsy of the nature of Space Camper, of how, like, you know, her alter ego is, her name is El Dorado. You know, that's the hop variety that we use for Space Camper. And we created a whole backstory in this, like, this Space Camper universe, like the SCU. And so we realized that gave us room to get creative and do some really fun storytelling. And that's where the Rotator series came from. So last year you saw Giga Hop, which was the dual hemisphere IPA. Then we saw Delta Ray, which was like a nice, like, sessionable hazy IPA. And then like Nova Flare is out right now. That's
personal
a West
favorite.
Coast style.
Personal favorite.
Nova Flare is, I mean, the art is rad. Her backstory is also pretty rad. And then we also, over the summertime, we had a villain drop And that was just an Imperial version. So we wanted to keep that going. So next year we, you know, we will have that rotator series. We'll continue. So about every 3 months, you'll see a new, companion of Space Camper next to her on the shelves. But one thing that people were calling out last year was that the outer pack didn't really give too much information, and we were leaning almost too heavy on the storytelling and not as much on the actual beer characteristics. So even on social media, people were like, man, Giga Hop's great. What hops are in it? You know, like, well, damn, we should have been more transparent with that. We should have put that on the pack. So moving forward with Space Camper and the Rotators, you're going to see the pack will look a little different. I mean, still super recognizable. But we are going to be listing, you know, the hops that we use, because those are the superstars in these beers, right? And the malt bill is what it is, but the hops are really the shining stars here, so to speak. And then also we will get more creative in the storytelling as far as relaying the difference between those beers. So sometimes maybe it's not, you know, like this room right here where it's some massive beer nerds, but your average consumer might not know what Equinox hops are, or might not know, you know, the differences between like Pacific Northwest or Southern Hemisphere. So we're going to try and relay some more information at a glance that will give a casual consumer or a casual drinker an idea of what the actual difference is between those rotators. So starting in February, Star Haze will come out, and she has been the biggest fan favorite in our Cosmic Mix Pack. And that's, again, the social media we hear all the time. Like, I keep buying this mix pack to get more Star Haze. So we thought, well, now is a really good opportunity to kind of give her a few months of her own in her own pack and let her kind of break out of that mix pack. And then we have, you know, we'll have a summer Space Camper, and then we've got a fall Space Camper. And we're going to continue those as long as people are drinking them and buying them and are enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see the people get excited when those new ones drop out, right? And they're always pumped. Get out there and try the new one, and we try to build up the displays a little bit, get those accessible and do some fun things. And, you know, in the on-premise, something I've been working on with Adam and some of our local team is just working that in the on-premise, like Cosmic Force. We did a little bit of it last year. Really get people to try them and just recruit them to the Cosmic Force, right? Bring them into our little world and tell the stories about the beer or the characters, and you know, provide people with some fun things to kind of wrap their head around the whole Space Camper saga that is the SCU.
The SCU, Space Camper Universe. I will tell you this. It always shocks me, to, you know, like when you get so used to being in Kansas City, you're so saturated, and I look around this room, I see a half a dozen Boulevard marks. But when I was in Texas, I had Space Camper ball cap on, and I'm just walking down the street, and this guy just walking by just goes, "Space Camper, shit yeah," and just kept on walking. And I was like, hey, right on, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, that's so cool.
The same thing happened to me with the Cheesecake the other day. I had my hat, the hat I'm wearing on my head backwards.
Yeah.
The guy behind me like does the old tap. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, I love that damn hat. I was like, well, thank you. He's like, where'd you get it?
How much?
Yeah, how much you want for it, buddy? And he's like, I love that beer. That's a great hat. I was like, man, Boulevard Gift Shop, get down there, get you one.
Yeah.
Because, it's a recognizable brand now, not just here. It's kind of outside of our little bubble, which is super cool to see.
Yep.
It's interesting, actually, how approachable Space Camper is to, like, not to, like, stereotype that kind of crew, that you, like the guy you were talking about at Arrowhead.
You're
but,
right.
You know, I can't tell you how many people that are known and very proud Coors Light or Miller Lite drinkers that are like, yeah, but I do like Space Camper, though.
Yeah.
My Uncle Matt.
Yeah?
Shout out Uncle Matt.
Uncle Matt. Yeah. Uncle Matt's one of them. Yeah.
He's like, man, Space Camper's good.
Have you ever heard of the story of Space Camper, how it came to be?
No.
So I'll try and keep it brief, but a few years ago, we sampled Jam Band at Planet Comic Con. And it was the first time that we had been invited to come in and sample beer.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, we didn't know what to expect. And Friday afternoon, we went through, I think, two half barrels of Jam Band samples. That's how, I mean, there's 30,000 people that were queued up, and you know, the promoters were like, you're supposed to be sampling all weekend and you've already run out of beer. So I hopped into Adam Roberts' car. He happened to be there. And we drove to the brewery and snuck inside the cooler there and grabbed a couple of kegs from the TNR folks, because it was Friday afternoon. And we're like, you know, well, don't tell anybody because this isn't exactly legal.
As he says on a podcast.
Right, yeah. So this is years ago.
What are they going to do, arrest you now?
Exactly.
You
know? we sampled the Jam Band for the rest of the weekend, and it goes just as quick as it did on Friday. It was insane. Oh, and we, like, you know, talking to, like, all these people who are, like, super into it. And then on Monday, we had a meeting with our sales team and our marketing team, and I was like, hey, listen, I was like, I'm just going to throw this out here. I was like, I think we need to make a beer for nerds. You know, and I have to tell you, and most of the CS Bev folks know me, but anybody else, like, my whole right arm is covered in Marvel tattoos. So when I say nerd, I was really talking about me. I was like, we need to have a beer that's marketed towards me. Yeah, to me, Adam Hall. And, you know, so we started talking in that meeting, and, like, by the end of it, it had come to light that one of our designers had already kind of been flirting around with this Silver Age kind of, like, comic book cover label, but just had no beer to apply it to. And our brewmaster, Stephen Powles, around that time had challenged our brewers, because we weren't really known for IPAs. I mean, we had Single Wide. The Calling was relatively new. So they were like, let's lean a little bit more heavily in it. So he challenged all of his brewers, come up with some recipes, find some hops that you like, and we'll rotate really small batches in the brewery, just to kind of get familiar, play around, try some new techniques, new styles. And this one Eldorado forward IPA that was just a small batch in the beer hall was wildly popular. And we're like, okay, well, we have this beer that we want to do something with it, and we have this really rad, like, comic book cover style art for this beer. I was like, let's put them together and see what happens. And then we had a big event at the brewery where we invited like 600 of our closest friends in the community to come, and we, like, had, like, video games. We had a DJ there. It was just like we did it out and really hyped that beer up to all of our bigger retailers and bar owners and bartenders and, you know, our wholesaler partners. Mm-hmm. And really just kind of put, like, a lot of faith in this. Like, this beer is phenomenal. This is something we can really get behind. There's a lot of energy and a lot of really fun branding potential. And then here we are three years later, and it's
bonkers.
Bonkers is the best way to describe it. Yeah,
yeah, we've got hats now.
Guys at Arrowhead really want it, you know? Yeah. I had not heard that story. That's a really cool story, actually, and how it all came to be. And thank you in particular for making a beer for you, Adam.
Yeah, that's
great. And honestly, it's a big reason why we're seeing the type of expansion that we're seeing in Space Camper and all the different innovations within the IPA realm that you guys are doing. One of the really cool little moments there that I noticed that I feel need to be shouted out on this podcast to our sales team. As Kyle was talking just then, talking about how, you know, the whole emphasis is building up those displays all around market, he did glance as we sit here in the marketing department making this podcast over at the little pile of Space Camper POS we have ready to go to market.
It's ready.
Baby.
It's ready.
Find a spot.
Come and get it. You talk about the packaging and going over a little bit of a facelift to just kind of accentuate what hops in particular. There's also one part of the package that I don't think gets necessarily enough attention, which is, you know, giving back to the earth.
Yep.
And if you follow Boulevard on social media, as you absolutely should be right now, you noticed very recently you guys were out there planting trees. Putting your space campers where your mouths are.
He was. I was out of town, but he was.
I learned so much thanks to the folks at KC Parks and Rec. How to plant a tree, how to shovel dirt, dirt with rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Plant rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a group of about 15 people make our way out there to the MLK Park, and we planted roughly about 30 trees along with KC Parks and Rec's folks, and it was great. Gave us a chance to donate back, you know, to the city that we're in, of course, and then obviously to Mother Earth, because as Adam likes to say so much, Earth is the only planet with beer.
It's true, that we know of.
Yeah, that we know. That's a good point. So yeah, it was a really cool experience, man, and we had a good time. And I kept telling Jimmy, who was my partner for the day, him and I had dug some serious holes. And I was like, buddy, I can't wait to come back here with you in 10, 20 years and look at this tree together.
Oh, I hope the payoff is a little bit sooner for you there, but I know how long it takes, you know, time for trees to grow and nature to heal and whatnot.
And we're doing some more stuff. We got a couple more plans before the end of the year. We still have a little bit of more funding left from that Space Camper initiative to use here locally. So more to come on that, but I'm really excited. And then next year,
same thing. Do it all over again. Yeah, like every pack that you purchase or every pack that gets purchased, you know, proceeds from that beer is going to go back to giving back to the earth in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
As if we needed another reason to drink Space Camper.
Exactly. You know? Yep.
Saving the planet.
Got you covered. Yep.
Not the only philanthropic outreach that you guys have with beer either. Let's talk a little bit about KC Pills and what's going on there.
Really exciting right now. So KC Pills, From almost its inception, it's been a way for us to kind of give back to the community a little bit. But a few years ago, we created this program called our KC Pills Partnerships, where we identify someone in the community or some organization in the community that's also kind of a pillar to KC. We did the Nelson Atkins Museum, the Ronald McDonald Charity House. And then we just this month, we launched our partnership with Veterans Community Project, which, so I'm a veteran. I was in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service. Anytime.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. But our also, like Kyle's boss, Steve Linder, he's been associated with Veterans Community Project since their inception. He's like one of their first founding members.
Very cool.
We've always tried to find a way, you know, to help out, raise awareness. Anytime they have an event, we're, you know, would donate beer, you know, in a heartbeat, you know, like it's the very, very least that we could do. And they're like, well, what's the most you can do? I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. How about, shoot. Yeah. So we, you know, this earlier, like, I think like this time last year we met with them and I toured their tiny homes. And we talked about like wanting to do something kind of around Veterans Day this year. And so KC Pills Partners. So the packs will start making their way out to the market soon. It was really fun. Our designer, who was unfamiliar with Veterans Community Project, and if you're unfamiliar, it was started by some veterans who came, you know, they got out of their particular branch of service, came to the community and saw that there were a lot of veterans in need. And, you know, they wanted to take that, support the troops a little bit beyond when they're troops, you know, like to, when they get out, have like that kind of 360 service. So to provide, you know, it's a lot of times like, so when I got out of the Marine Corps, you know, my parents lived in the house they lived in when I joined the Marine Corps. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go hang out with them while I figure out what my next move is going to be. I had, family support, you know, a lot of friends. And there are people who get out of the military or when they separate, you know, they don't have family, don't have anywhere to go. Or, you know, maybe they're dealing with some stuff that's really challenging. It makes it hard for them to kind of adapt back into society. So VCP, they're there for those people that might need an extra hand. They're real quick to tell you, like, we're a hand up, not a handout. We want to help people, you know, find their own way and give them an opportunity, you know, a respectful way to kind of get them back on their feet or help them on a direction, you know, that's kind of turn the direction they're in, they're around. So their whole goal is to try and end, veteran homelessness. So they have these villages, these tiny villages that the veterans, if you're homeless and if you need a hand, you can move into this house for X amount of time. Well, so now you've got an address. So like when you go apply for a job, they will help you get like, you know, a cell phone, because how do you get a job if you don't have a number that they can contact? So little things, or like they will provide them with bus passes. How do you get to go apply for jobs if you don't have any transportation? So they provide so many services for the veteran community of Kansas City and now in St. Louis and then in Denver, and they're growing and growing. So with the veterans, with the KC Pills Partnership, every pack or every case that we sell, we'll be donating 50 cents to directly to VCP, a dollar. Oh, we've raised it. Do we have $2?
Oh, got that. All right. Let's just double it right now.
So for every pack. So I was thinking every 12 pack is 50 cents.
Right.
Every case, 2 12 packs is a dollar.
Yep.
So for every case, we'll be donating a dollar to VCP from now until the beginning of the year through like January, February. So, and you know, it gives us an opportunity to kind of like, I mean, we'll host them down to the brewery. We got like some fun events that we're going to be doing with them. So yeah, we're really happy to, we've been wanting to find a way to work with them for a very long time. And this gives us an opportunity. And like, what I was saying is our designer, who's unfamiliar with VCP, we went down there for a day. Steve Linder he met me down there and we walked through the community and they kind of told Wes, like, this is what we do. These are the things that you can't see that we do. And then Wes went back and designed this can and just hit the nail on the head, like kind of in a way that you can in a 12-ounce can,
right?
Kind of captured the essence, the feel, and the sense of community that VCP provides. So I'm really excited for people to have these cans in hands. I'm really excited to see displays later of the actual cases. And the 12-pack is beautiful.
So the program started November 1, right?
Yep.
It runs through the end of February. And then as Central States depletes their normal KC Pills packaging, which you guys are doing every day right now, you'll start to see those new packs rotate in, just like anything with any of your other brands, right?
Awesome. Yep. Awesome.
So
yeah.
You should see those start to, as you just deplete those days of inventory, the new stuff will just slowly start creeping into the system. And then we've got the POS available with you guys from the sign shop. We can do all the fun stuff that you guys are always so willing to do and help us out with. Yep. So yeah, we're really pumped about that. And it looks awesome. Like, just to see the poster alone just looks killer. Yeah,
it really does.
It's just really neat.
Yep. That's very cool. Very cool. And such a needed thing too, especially just going through everything you just said. Like, a lot of things people don't think about. And totally. Especially people who weren't in the service. But mm-hmm. it's a lot. And that's awesome, having that outreach. So yeah. Go out and get some KC Pils. It's a delicious drinking Pilsner beer anyway.
You may as well
benefit from drinking a little bit more.
That's a win-win-win, we call it.
Whoa, three wins.
Yeah. Three wins. Three dubs. It's a lot. What else do we have here coming out for 2022 in innovation? I believe I would be amiss if I didn't at least bring up a pretty cool collaboration with a Platinum Glove winning outfielder from the Kansas City Royals.
Heck yeah. Yeah, Gordo. So this past summer, the Royals called us up and they're like, hey, Alex Gordon, who, his entire baseball career was with the Royals. He's a beloved fan. He retired in 2020 to an empty stadium.
Right.
And so they were like, this year, they're like, now that people are back in the stadium, we want to give him a party. And they're like, we would love if you guys could brew a beer for Alex Gordon. And we're like, yeah, when's the party? And they're like, in 3 weeks. And we're like, let me tell you about how beer is made real quick. Let's talk about that. But there was not an opportunity that we wanted to pass up, because Gordo is up until Gordo's Golden Ale, he said that Tank 7 is his favorite beer. He's been a strong supporter of the brewery for a very long time. So we're like, we're not going to pass this opportunity up. So we quickly threw some branding together. We, talked to the brewers, like, we need a style that would be appropriate for, like, imagine this on tap at the stadium or, for opening day next year. So, we look at his 8 Golden Gloves. And we're like, golden beer, golden. What are these? What's the connective tissue? And like, yeah. And so Imperial Stout. No. So we went with a
opening day with Imperial Stout. Yeah.
Okay. It's 12%, 8%, I guess.
Stillwood.
Stillwood. Totally. So Gordon's golden ale kind of came to be, and we did not have any beer available for his party. But we were present there. We did present him with some beautiful mock-ups that you guys actually made here in this room that we handed to him, that he's got hanging in his living room over his couch, I think. No, he probably doesn't.
I'll say that's awesome.
Yeah, that would be rad.
Our sign shop just got a real big head.
But we quickly, though, we did start, like, as soon as we started the conversation and we figured out what we were going to brew, we did brew some, and then we sent it out to the K for the end of the season with the promise of next year. A few weeks before opening day, we'll start sending this beer out to the market. So Gordo's Golden Ale. Kyle has got some amazing events planned that's going to be really fun to attend. Right? You got them right now. You're going to rattle them off. No. We've got between Gordo's Golden Ale and Pale Ale, that it's going to get a bit of a Royals makeover next year, for just in time for opening day. We'll be sending some people to be a Boulevardian for a Royal treatment for a day.
Yeah, where some lucky consumer stuff.
That's awesome.
Some,
yep, a lot of really consumer facing programs.
Well, there'll be a first pitch situation.
There will be a first pitch situation. All right. Yep.
Breaking news.
Yep.
So, and then as far as on premise or now in the off trade, we'll look to do displays of Gordo's Golden Ale next to the new Pale Ale pack and wheat beer, right? And the Gordo's is a limited time drop. And then on premise, we'll have some draft, and we'll do some fun Royals promotions that, like we've done in the past, and some Royals watch parties, etc. And we'll do some consumer giveaways. For that.
It's a real rough job to get paid to go drink beer and watch baseball with a bunch of fans. I mean,
I don't know how.
Life is hard.
Every day I wake up, gentlemen, I put on my pants one leg at a time, just like you.
Yep. I can see the stress already weighing down on you, though.
How are we going to get through this damn day?
I realize leading into this, too, what a missed opportunity I just gave talking about Gordo's Golden Ale. And I said the Platinum Glove Award-winning catcher.
I wasn't going to correct it.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
No, you're not.
But still.
I mean, he wins so damn many, it turned into platinum.
It's true. True.
So there's a series, just all the different levels of metallic objects that his
Gordo's
are made of now.
That'll be the Gordo series next year.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Gordo series.
The Gordo series.
That's a good idea, okay, so, obviously one of the cool things about Boulevard, of the many cool things, is just such a well-rounded portfolio of fantastic beers, from the barrel-aged stuff to the classic unfiltered wheat styles to the IPAs, from the Calling to Space Camper. And I think if this 2022 conversation is any sort of indication, there's no letting off the gas pedal either. Like, it's full throttle.
All gas, no brakes.
Cool thing looking into 2022. But, you know, we got to also talk about the other side of the Boulevard portfolio, which is the Boulevard Beverage Company and the non-beer portion. Kyle just got really excited. I saw the dance going. So let's talk Fling, man. Let's talk some craft cocktails.
Let's get flung. All right. Fling, you're going to see some changes with Fling next year in 2022. Really just working on getting things more... is this a word, concurrent? I don't know. Just grouped together.
It is now. Sure. Okay. It is now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dictionary. And we're going to have the...
Cohesive.
The cohesiveness. Thank you.
There you go.
So this is why I brought Adam. That's good. He coached me up the whole way here. And I'm already... So we're going to have like a core four, right? And the vodka lemonade that we did last year, which is a limited time deal.
Is oh, fantastic.
Be, right?
Yes.
Full time next year. Boom. And we'll see those on the shelf. So vodka lemonade, blood orange vodka soda, Mai Tai and margarita will be your core four going forward, right?
Nice.
We're kind of decomplexifying a
little decomplexify, bit. Yep.
And that's a real word. And going with that vodka lemonade. Now, the vodka, the two vodka series, we're going to raise the ABV on those a little bit to kind of make them a little more, I don't know how to say it, like not valuable, but like more awesome. Right? They're going to be up to 7.5%.
You see a bunch of people trying to bump stuff up anyway and add maybe a shot to it as well. Right. So it just makes sense. You did it for them. Yeah. Consistency.
And then Mai Tai and margarita will stay at the same level as they're at, but you'll have those core four SKUs that you can look at the shelf and be like, these are my four. And then we'll do some limited time drops, some fun stuff. We're going to do a resort, a mixed six pack this spring.
Oh, okay.
Looks like that's coming out in March. And that's going to debut our Tequila Paloma. So that's a fun new one that's coming out. If things go well, you might see more Tequila Paloma down the road, but... I think this mixed six-pack will give us a nice idea of what exactly to expect with that.
What's the ABV you're looking at for the Paloma?
That's a great question. I want to say it's 7-ish.
Yeah, 7-ish. It's between 7 and 8.
Yep. Yeah. So the cool thing with our tequila-based cocktails, so with the vodkas, we use 360 vodka out of Weston, right? And like we've been doing that for a while. And recently, we just partnered up with a new tequila distillery, a proper tequila. We were using agave spirits. Right, and it was really good, and we had a great time. But there's some brand equity in the word tequila, so we're going to go that route.
Okay,
a brand here in Kansas City, which we're really excited about, and so you'll see those changes as they start again, kind of like the Casey Pills conversation. As you deplete this inventory, as we deplete ours, you'll start to see these new ones roll in early spring. So we're really pumped about that. And then later on in the year, we'll have another vodka innovation cocktail. You'll see four packs of that drop in August. So don't want to get too crazy down the road with that just yet.
Right.
Some fun innovation around Flings. And then just like I said, focusing on those core four. And what's great about Fling, obviously, they're delicious and they're wonderful. And they put us in that RTD category, which is a whole new category for us. Well, shit, 3 years now, I guess.
Yeah.
Still fairly new in the whole.
You got some veteranship here. Sure. You know.
A little bit. Yeah. And we still have some stuff to improve upon. And it gives us in that world. And then on-premise, you know, it's those events. It's those one-off events. You know, it's those activity-based accounts that we're in that we do really well in. So anytime we find those opportunities, marinas, anything outdoors.
Yeah, golf courses, venues, arenas,
We'll have some programming built around those specific things, like whether it's a crew drive to target golf courses or these type of accounts. We're going to work on that first thing next year. So pretty cool stuff with Fling. I wish I had like the samples here, just like pour them in the microphone so people could hear it and try it.
the packaging, both the can and the can wraps, it all got a makeover too. Because one thing when we started Fling, we went real heavy with the word Fling because it's so fun and it dominated both the can and the package. So we realized that as we started making more flavors, that we ought to maybe reduce the size of the word Fling and increase the size of what it actually is.
Okay. Yeah,
so that it, when you're, you know, if you're scanning the set or if you're looking at, you know, at a cooler door, we want you to be able to see Paloma leading the pack before necessarily before you see Fling. So, I mean, Fling is still going to be very present, but So cleaned up the cans a little bit, kind of modernized them a little bit, made them more on trend. Yeah. So, and, you know, raising the alcohol on Fling, we thought it was a good move, especially with our other non-bev project that we have. You know, some people were like, what's the difference between A and B?
Right.
And we're like, well, in order to kind of create that more of a crowbar, that separation between our RTDs and the hard seltzers, the ABV is a really big separation. I mean, you know, Fling is like real spirits. It's all natural. It's gluten-free. you know, Quirk is real fruit, you know, it's gluten free, it's all natural.
Right.
So, what is the big difference there? And really the biggest difference is the alcohol. So with Fling, you're getting twice, you know, like the vodka lemonade is, we're using a real spirit. It's actual vodka. It's twice the ABV, you know, the Paloma is going to be 8% as opposed to like the grapefruit, twist is 4%. So, you know, so it does give the consumer, if you're looking for something like a ready to drink cocktail and you want the higher ABV, you're going to go to Fling. If you're looking for something a little bit lower than that, then obviously you go to our other category.
Man, Kyle, I don't know if you noticed or if you can tell in the telekinetic waves going on over here, but Adam and I are kind of syncing up because that was actually a question I was about to ask. I was going to do a sort of deep cut roundtable discussion over, you know, do you really feel like the elevation of the ABV and the ready-to-drink cocktails is kind of a way of diversifying it away from seltzers? And sounds like you're in that boat. Kyle, what do you think?
I'm in the boat with him.
Yeah.
Same boat, same couch.
Yeah.
I made room for you on the door. That door was big enough for both of them, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, you did great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
We're pumped about Fling going forward. We've got some great plans, and I think you'll see a lot of fun stuff with that in 2022, for sure, especially with the fun limited stuff and just the focus on those core four.
Absolutely. And that doesn't mean, you know, Quirk's going away by any stretch of the means either, yeah?
I have not heard of this Quirk.
Yeah.
Do you know something I don't know?
Something new? This hard seltzer. I hear it's all the rage.
Quirk. Yeah, man. So Quirk, hard seltzer, has quickly become a large topic around the brewery, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Like, I mean, it's been a great run, and we're really excited to keep that momentum going in 2022. So... right now, the Berry Botanical 12-pack, which was our, I guess I would call it 1B version of the mixed 12-pack. We started off with the first one that had the three flavors, then we went to Berry Botanical. That is the number one seltzer SKU in Kansas City grocery. Now, if someone's going to go run and look on Nielsen and prove me wrong, go ahead.
But no, that's, yeah.
Generally speaking.
Consistently for the past couple months, right.
You know, I may have missed a specific
word. In this room, that tracks.
Yeah. So, the Quirk 12-pack, especially Berry Botanical, has just taken off, and it's fantastic. And then we introduced the citrus one back in June of this year, actually, and it quickly, like, ascended as well. So, like, those two packs just crush it at retail, and we are thrilled to keep innovating and keep doing more in 2022. And you'll see more innovation from Quirk.
Such as?
Down the road.
No, I knew this guy was going to tease.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to that very first question you asked about what are we seeing that is, you know, changing and what are we going to see continue. I think it's rad that the more I'm going out to eat now, the more I see Quirk tap handles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's no longer an afterthought. It's getting mixed into the lineup.
At places you would not expect.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yes. And that's part of our innovation as well, is draft. Like, we brought out Quirk Draft this year just to kind of be like, hey, let's see if this thing worked, because we had seen some other folks try it and maybe it worked, it didn't work. I don't know. I'm not going to comment on that. But we busted it out with cherry blossom and lime because ours has that real fruit juice, so you get that color, and it just looks beautiful in a glass, right? And you sit it on there, pour it over ice, and it just looks, people are like, ooh, I want that, right? Yep. That's what happened. That started happening. Like,
that is exactly right.
Exponentially, you're just like, you see the draft channels increasing, and the numbers, and it was super cool. And so we're going to focus really hard on draft again this year, and we're going to start it off. And let me back up real quick. We're going to introduce a new six-pack to the market, Grapefruit Twist, dropping in January.
Oh, right? Lovely.
Grapefruit was only available in the citrus mix pack. Grapefruit's going to jump out of that pack, go straight six-pack and 19-ounce cans. So you'll have strawberry, lemon, basil six packs, cherry blossom and lime six pack, grapefruit twist six pack. All three of those will also have the corresponding 19-ounce cans. So really excited.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So when you walk into your local C store, boom, 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 three 19-ounce canners right in front of you.
Trifecta.
Boom.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah. I love that.
And then as far as draft goes, being here in Kansas City, we have the luxury of kind of picking and choosing the draft we want to focus on. Because as I think we all know with seltzers, it's kind of a like, what's new or whatever.
Sure. You know? Yep.
Right.
And so we have the ability to kind of play around with that. And I think we're going to work towards that in January. We've been focused really hard on cherry blossom and lime. And then I think going into January, we're going to probably focus a little more on maybe something else just for fun. But cherry blossom lime will always be available, as will the strawberry, as will your grapefruit, as will some other stuff. So there's some room to mess around there. We're just kind of throwing it out there and seeing what happens. And if, you know, if people like it, well, we keep making it, right? So that part's really cool.
I also think it's fun when you go to a bar and they've got a whole section of cocktails that they've made with Quirk.
That
opened our eyes this summer. We're like,
we had some people in town, like from our outside salespeople, and we were kind of showing them around, and we went to a local spot, and we kind of sat down, and there was like a menu page of well, as they call them, Quirk Tales. Yeah. they were named after Huey Lewis, Dewey, and
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah.
Decimal
yeah.
System.
Yep.
Quirk Tales came from Knott Boulevard?
Yeah.
Wow, guys.
I mean, that's, yeah.
That's good. Inspiration.
I mean, we stole it. And after we saw that, we kind of leaned really heavily into it. Like,
well, after we saw and drank them.
That was
probably helps,
inspiration. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then, you know, that was a really fun like week in the marketing department too, in that little kitchen. There was just like bottles of every kind of booze you can think of. Fruit. Allie Bush brought every single one of her glassware. She's got a terrific like cocktail glass collection.
That was awesome.
And then they just experimented. We experimented and then started collecting, you know, we have some terrific photographer on our team, and she was taking pictures of them as we were making them and then periodically dropping them on social media.
Yeah.
And as of right now, I think the watermelon Quirk Tale is the most commented and most like reposted post from the summer to now. I mean, like it was amazing how like it really kind of took off and resonated with people.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, I can make this at home we can do this at a bar.
It resonated so much. It made the full circle back to me through my wife. I come home and she's like, hey, can you get some tequila? And I was like, wow, okay, what's going on? She's like, well, someone just sent me this thing, this recipe of the Quirk watermelon with tequila. I want to try it. And I was
oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I guess we don't talk enough.
Yeah.
Some serious reflecting.
I was in that same room, honey.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, and that the Quirk Tales, or you know, Quirk Cocktails is what we're really calling them. Quirk Tales is a fun name.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
I don't want to say that we stole it, but...
No.
Is this potentially maybe opening up the doorway to a collaboration between Fling and Quirk?
Ooh,
maybe down the road, you know?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how. I haven't mixed them up before, but...
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know? I don't know how. It's not my job to know
As we said earlier, never say
never. We never say never. Yeah.
Five will taught us all that.
No, it's really cool, actually, what's going on with Quirk and kind of watching the growth of this hard seltzer trend. I know not just hard seltzers in general, but once you get this far into something like hard seltzer and the growth that they've had over these years is, you know, how do you continue to evolve past fizzy water that has a flavor, you know?
Sure.
And Adam, I think you brought it up that it's real fruit juice, and that was mind-blowing at the time, groundbreaking. And it was less calories than your other big heavy hitters in the seltzer game, and it brought way more flavor to the game, too, which is nuts. It was Quirk just took off, and deservedly so. And I love, you know, we talk about how Space Camper is disarming to the domestic drinker. In that same vein, Quirk can be disarming, too. I've seen it where, you know, somebody's like, no, I'm not going to ever drink a hard seltzer,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
And then you pour a cherry blossom lime, and they're like, cherry blossom? This better be the best damn thing I ever had. And then they, like, take a sip, and they're like, you got lucky,
yep.
You know.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you know,
I've never felt better about myself than when I'm at an account and I've got that beautiful pink drink, ice cubes, and like, man, it tastes great. It goes down super fast. That's good and bad, right? It's good for the retailer, bad for my wallet,
right?
Well, I guess I have a budget. So.
That's true.
Regardless, man, and then just like I said, adding the cocktail aspect to it is going to be, I think, what takes us to that next level that you were asking about earlier. And you know, we have the recipes, they're available on our social media. It's something we'll go out to the on-premise and be like, hey, you should look into this. The profitability for something like that, pouring that over ice, and just increases that keg's profitability exponentially as well. And that's something we'll try to educate, and you know, we'll see what happens. But we're super pumped about that, super pumped about what is to come with Quirk later down the road. Surprises to come, exciting stuff.
That's the last tease you're allowed to give this entire podcast.
All right.
No more.
All right.
Unless you're going to say something. I want to hear
it. I can't. I've sworn to secrecy by Allie Bush.
That's fair. That's fair. That's all good. So, you know, we've covered Quirk. We covered Fling. We covered a lot of cool things coming at Boulevard Brewing Company. Is there anything that I haven't really covered or we haven't touched on yet that just needs to be brought up?
Jeez Louise, we covered a lot of ground.
Really did.
I will tell you, so we did mention the core seasonals. Like Irish Ale, Zone, Bob's, and Nutcracker, and how they mostly stay unchanged because, again, we're not going to get rid of them. We will not mess with the recipe. But one thing that we did realize that, and it took us a very long time to figure this out, is that Zone, which is our summer seasonal, has been in a bottle always, forever. And it's kind of like a little bit of a miss to have a summer seasonal in a package that you can't take with you on most of your summer events.
You saying so what I think you're about to say?
I am saying that Zone will be in Zone is making the move from 12-ounce bottle to 12-ounce can next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's exciting.
Yeah. That so that's good. It's innovative. It's the first, obviously, it's the first of our core seasonals that's going to move outside of that bottle. But it was also, Zone is, like, it's a sleeper hit, right? It's the most award-winning beer at the brewery.
Right.
And it is also the very first beer that our brewmaster, Stephen Powles, made when John hired him and brought him over from Belgium in 99.
Sure.
Stephen's first beer was to create this. You know, he was like, well, you guys are already making a great wheat beer. Why don't we do a wit beer? You know, like, mm-hmm. Let's do that. And so that was his first recipe. That was the first beer. And it was the first bit of, and this is crazy, in 99, it was the first bit of innovation. It was not only Stephen's first beer, but it was the brewery's first new beer in like 5 years. And so that set off a trend, yeah. I think, you know, just to see, like, where can we take this? Where can we go? What will people, you know, be That's jazzed awesome. About next? Yeah. So to see Zone go into a can is exciting on a lot of levels.
Zone's coming in a can. Kyle, you see that? That's what it's like not to tease. You're just going to give me the information. That's what I want. I like that. I love that. There was one more thing that we did need to talk about, actually, and it's something that's very, very exciting. I actually had a lot of people around the office whenever I told them you guys were coming in to discuss Boulevard in 2022.
They all like, left.
They did. But they'll listen in later. They know. So we got to talk about Southwest Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Southwest Boulevard. We can talk about that. So we have been talking about, well, we had a beer in the, you know, like a test beer. Stephen was messing around with a lager with lime. And we're like, well, this is great. And what can we do with it? And then Bobby Dykstra, our VP of sales and marketing, for a reason, this man is not paying enough. He said, what if we called it Southwest Boulevard? What if we added a little bit of salt to it and called it Southwest Boulevard? And so Southwest Boulevard is our actual street name. That's where the name Boulevard came from, is the street that we're on. And it conveys so much, right? So it's Boulevard, and it's us, it's our beer, it's Southwest. It kind of leans into those Southwest vibes. But yeah, so that's going to come out next year, next April. And it is. It's a light lager with salt and lime. Super refreshing, really fun branding. Yeah. And that beer is going to be around. You know, we're going to put a lot of energy behind it, because that, whenever Bobby Dykstra has a pet project, you know, that's you, you lean heavily into
go
it.
Go hard,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are going to go hard. So we're exploring lots of really fun, like, point of sale and opportunities to kind of take this and really drive it out in the market, both in draft and in package. So we really hope that this beer becomes something. Now, this year, we're kind of test the waters with it, because this is one beer that we didn't really get an opportunity to. So really, we're using Kansas City as our market research. So let's see how people react to it. But it comes out in April, and it's going to be around for about 6 months. You know, when the weather starts to cool down a little bit, we think, well, maybe people are going to stop drinking a really refreshing light lager. But we want to see. So a word that I've heard around the brewery talking about this beer for the past few weeks is bullish. We are very bullish on Southwest Boulevard. Yeah. And I was like, can you say bullyish or boulevardish, or, you know, like, is there something we can, like, bully porter, like bullyish? I don't know. But but very, very bullish on this beer. And so we're very excited. And I'll tell you this, Mr. Clairvoyant over here has been asking for this beer since he started.
3 years I've been begging for something like this.
Like a salt lime pilsner?
Uh-huh.
If you know.
I understand.
I'm with Bobby. Me and Bobby are in this boat over here.
Yeah.
The Southwest Lime.
You guys are on a pontoon of this one, right?
Rolling
around the lake.
If it delivers on your expectations, Mr. Kleiser, it'll deliver on mine. I'm very excited about it.
I can't wait to get this out there. I have a lot of ideas, and I'm going to drink the shit out of it too, actually.
Yep. That's and Southwest cool. Boulevard, where we're located, is home to, like, some of the best, like, Latino food. Mm-hmm. So I can see, you know, I'm going to put on some summer LBs next year.
Well, the best part is we'll walk them off.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Throwing this on tap down there at Ponax, going full circle.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I bet it will.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
A taco crawl with you.
Oh, I'm there.
Anybody. Well,
everybody listening.
There will be a date.
Yeah. And all everybody's invited.
Yeah. Yep. What's it like having Mr. McDonald back in the brew house?
Oh man, it's so, again, it's like that nature, you know, seeing nature come back. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah.
Whoa,
but I think so much has changed, you know, even for him over the years, that he sometimes seems a little bit bewildered when he's walking around.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a few people in the Tours and Rec building who had never met him before. And it was like, oh yeah, well, you know, you'll see him walking around. It's like, you'll recognize him. Mm-hmm. Because he will have he'll look like a farmer. Like, he literally just came from his farm. He'll have like some green duck boots on, right? Blue jeans, flannel shirt.
Yep.
That probably the jeans and shirt he's owned for 50 years. And then the dopest sunglasses you've ever seen. I feel like that your man, John McDonald, leads the fashion industry when he is on top of it, like beer and sunglasses. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, man.
Dead on. Yeah.
Those sunglasses are sick.
You think he gets, like, a sunglass magazine that I don't know about?
He must,
like,
yeah.
He
gets the newsletters, like, Sunglass Daily, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe it's like a really
Sunglass
green.
Business Daily.
Yeah. Yeah. Subscription or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's
I'm gonna
awesome.
Pay attention to that next time.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. They're always, yeah, just fashion. Yeah.
I, you know, it's at one point or another, I don't exactly know when, I came across in my possession a, like, second-generation label of Boulevard's Pale Ale.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, everybody listening knows he's Boulevard's first beer. It wasn't the first label, but it was, I'm pretty sure it was either the second or the third, but you know, I held on to it and I brought it to the 30th anniversary party.
Oh yeah.
And you know, approached John about it and I asked him, like, hey man, would you mind signing this label and stuff? And so, you know, he's very gracious. He signed it. And then like a minute later he turns around and he's like, oh, Aaron. I go, yeah. He's like, don't drink that one. it was very cool. It was very cool. Down to earth guy. I'm glad to hear he's back.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Before I let you guys go, Kyle's familiar with the last thing that I generally do with these podcasts, and he's very excited about the segment that we call the Five Heavy Hitters.
Oh, I thought we were going to sing a song. Okay.
No. Unless you want to.
Butter up.
Five Heavy Hitters.
I do. Everyone listening does not.
That's fair. Yeah. Just five random questions,
okay.
Semi-random questions that I'm going to ask the room, and it can require a collaborative answer, an individual answer, both, whatever you want.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. We're going to do like one of those hearings where we put them.
Okay. Like, think about it for a second, like a quiz show. All right. Question number one. What is the best holiday tradition?
The best holiday tradition ever. For me, it would be my family ages ago decided we need to do turkey at Thanksgiving and turkey at Christmas. And my mom was like, I'm not having it. We're not doing turkey both times. That's
right.
Done. So she made this decision that we're going to do prime rib at Christmas.
Mm.
Oh,
okay.
And that for me, that, and this is, I was a young one when that, but that changed when that happened. It was, you know, it was like prime rib at Christmas. I don't know if it's anybody's tradition, but it's tradition where I'm from, and it owns. I highly recommend doing prime rib at Christmas.
That's a delicious tradition.
Mm-hmm. Man, okay. Yeah. Mine's kind of on the same lines. We, you know, Thanksgiving turkey for sure, but Christmas, and by the time I do like the four family Christmases now, you know,
sure,
prime
yeah.
rib, whatever, my parents, we just go straight Mexican food.
Yeah.
I make salsa, just tacos. So
huh. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Also, yeah. And this is also non-traditional, but for me, it's like something I look forward to every year, and it's something I do every December, right before Christmas, is a Lord of the Rings trilogy watch.
There it is.
Ah,
there
yeah.
it is.
Yep.
See, I was going to be really surprised that you both leaned into food with the traditions. When Adam, I thought you were going to mention at least a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking vacation, Christmas vacation,
right.
But that's
of course.
Yeah. But for me, it's for whatever reason that's the season for a Lord of the Rings trilogy watch.
Director's cut?
Oh, it's extended. Yeah.
Oh man,
yeah,
you're there all day.
It is all day, right? Yeah, because you know it's like the 23rd. No one's working. You're not working. You know,
no.
You don't have anything to do. You know, it's 2 days after my birthday, so I'm usually still nursing a hangover. You know, so you just eat good all day long. You know,
awesome.
Drink some beer and then watch Lord of the Rings.
That's
all day.
Awesome. That's good. Good holiday traditions. Question number two. I feel like we've kind of already beat the 80 acre thing over the head here, so there's really no need to. We'll exclude 80 acre from this conversation. This question.
Sure. Okay.
Oh,
what cult status Boulevard beer are you willing to bring back permanently?
Like me personally, or like,
yeah.
I
interpret that how you will.
Oof. Given, I would love to have Saison Brett year round.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Saison Brett year round would be my dream, but unfortunately there are some, just the nature of that beer. There's a lot of restrictions that prevent us from doing it, all the time. And I just met with Powell's, Stephen Powell's and Bobby Dexter on Monday to talk about Love Child.
Mm.
And Saison Brett, We're getting the conversation going again.
Oh, man.
Love Child, obviously, that's not one you would want to do year-round because that one you kind of need to have that variation. Right. But Saison Bright, I think, is one that I would like to see done consistently and then done year-round.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to go a different route.
Okay, do it.
So,
Tenpenny.
Yeah. I was going to joke. Be like, yeah, Tenpenny. Bring back Tenpenny.
Yeah.
As they type it out their typewriter. Lunar Ale. I think it would be so cool to bring back Lunar. I loved that beer when it was out. Like, I remember drinking that in St. Joseph, Missouri. That's where I lived at the time.
Yeah.
Lunar Ale was, I just like that style.
Sure.
It resonates. And yeah, the fact that you could put that with
Space Camper?
Space Camper. Yeah. Just do some kick ass fun stuff.
Sure.
So, I mean, throw that in a variety pack for me there. Yeah. Hall, next year.
Okay. I will say it's on the list. We have a list for our Venture Pack, for Adventure 12 Pack. So currently 80 acres in it.
Right.
And I have a list of beers that, you know, we there's some restrictions. It has to be less than 5.9% ABV. So that removes a few. You know, for those of you who don't live in this region, Kansas has really bizarre liquor laws. And so if we want to have a beer on the shelf at a grocery store, it's got to stay below 6%. So that restricts a lot of what we put in our variety packs.
Right.
But I would say Lunar's on the list.
If you're taking requests.
I am. Please.
Can we throw in Dry Stout?
Dry Stout. That is okay. Would that be yours? Is that your
I
answer?
Think so. Okay. I think so. I'm a little surprised at Kyle's. I thought he was going to go with Boo Lou.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. That was good for what it was.
Yep.
Well, yeah. It's good stuff, though. All right. Question number three. Going on the other side of the Boulevard portfolio, what flavor will never ever be a seltzer?
Chocolate.
The chocolate seltzer. It sounds terrible, so yeah, good answer.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this answer.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Why, because you're doing it?
No, not because I see some of the other stuff that's out there now. I'm like, why would you ever do that?
Oh, like pumpkin spice or something like that? Eggnog?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we all know he's doing that.
Yeah.
No, that's fair game here. You could say that.
Or eggnog.
Yeah.
We're never going to do
it. I get the seasonality of it. Like, it's you know, you're tugging at people's seasonal heartstrings.
I want eggnog. I want it straight from the bottle in my mousse.
Lots of rum. Maybe that's a fling.
There's no need to ever barrel age a seltzer, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
Pretty clear on that one?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, fair.
Yep.
Is there not a
reason? Okay, I don't know. There's always one. There's always one guy.
Never say never. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. I could be wrong. I've never had it.
Somebody's
going to do it. Now that you've put that out in the world, Dan. That's on you.
Did it to myself.
I used to laugh about all the pumpkin beers. I'm like, oh, someday we nitro pumpkin. Was it? What do we have now? Everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Good point.
The Kit Kat I ate last night out of my kid's candy bag was some sort of weird pumpkin orange thing.
Mm, my Tide. Actually, Tide is like pumpkin spice Tide.
I feel like this question was inspired by that SNL skit. I don't know if you saw the SNL skit about the seltzers.
Oh, so good.
JCPenney seltzer.
Yeah.
This one's desk flavored.
Oh, my gosh.
Belts and accessories.
All right. We'll move on. Question number four. And it's funny you guys brought up singing because this actually does kind of pertain a little bit to it. I'm not going to ask you to sing.
Okay.
What is the worst Christmas song?
I'm going to catch some shit. Go for it.
Oh, it's Mariah Carey's
All I Want for Christmas? Oh, okay. Yeah,
that
all
right.
How many times? Because I worked at the Buckle in high school and I heard that song 10 million times. So I just cannot. I wouldn't say it's the worst, but it's right there.
Have you walked into like Lowe's yet?
No, have you it's heard there. It? Has it started
it's,
already?
It's there.
Yeah,
it's
already
started.
She put out a video on Halloween night of her bashing a bunch of pumpkins.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep. Like,
just good to see her leaning into it.
Hits play.
Yeah.
Play.
Yeah, yeah. So good for her.
I like that song.
She makes a truckload of money every Christmas.
That's right.
Song. So. Good for her. She's doing great, I'm sure.
I will tell you this, that Christmas in Kansas City song is not good.
What's that one? I've never heard it.
Christmas in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what it's called when he talks about the plaza lights and stuff. Anybody listening in Kansas City right now is like, fire that guy. Put him on a rocket and send him to the fucking moon.
How dare you talk bad about my city.
It's nostalgic. I mean, I don't like it. I can't do it.
Can't do it.
I love Christmas in Kansas City. Yeah. Like the holiday times and the plaza lights are awesome.
Right.
Is that song not good.
Is it like just what he's saying?
All of it.
Okay.
Just all of it. Yeah.
I'll look it up.
I mean, it's pandering, you know, it's a lot of pandering, but it's you would never hear it outside. You're not going to hear the song like cruising around Hollywood Boulevard.
Won't be on
it's not going to the Macy's thing.
Ball drop?
Nope.
Is it like that sort of vibe, like, you know, the guy in the back at Mean Girls in the hoodie being like, he doesn't even go here, sort of thing? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. I'm not your man's biographer. I don't even know the guy's name who sang it. Dang. But it sounds like a late 70s, early 80s cut, maybe. Maybe late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. You can Google it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
It's old.
Yeah, it's been around. I mean, it sounds like it's been around for a while.
I'm excited to jump on the hate train here later about it.
I mean, maybe you'll love it. Maybe it'll tug on some KC heartstrings, but yeah.
it's not good. Lights.
That's going to be on the radio tomorrow when he walks in the office.
Yeah, right.
Repeat.
Right. Yep. Sign shops are very malicious about the radio content around here, so yeah, I get that one. Final question, question number 5. What is the most frequently asked question you get in an average day?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You reach out to this potential customer?
Did you get my email?
Very relatable, guys. Yeah.
Can you put that in my truck?
Oh yeah.
I mean, but that's my. Oh that's
sure,
my
that's your fault because you drive a truck.
Well, no. That's the people when you're walking around with like 10 cases of beer on your wheeler.
Oh yeah.
The truck's that way.
Yeah.
You throw that in my trunk. You're like, actually, yeah. The sooner I get it.
Do you guys just drink beer all the time at work?
Yeah.
And,
you know, yes, no. So, you know, Danner one time said something a while back when we were talking about, because we do have to, like, there are times where every day at work you're drinking beer.
Yeah.
But there is sometimes you're drinking for just yesterday with pals, we were drinking the holiday beer, but it was because I have to write a blog post about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, last week we were drinking some other new beers, some test beers, or drinking something while it's, still in development. Cause you have to kind of like, you can't just put some stuff in. It's like, imagine cooking at home. Mm-hmm. If you just like grab a bunch of recipes from, you know, like ingredients from Hy-Vee and put it in your oven. And we're like, this is dinner tonight. Who knows what it's going to be?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you have to. And so one time I remember I was being around and someone asked Danner, like, what's the difference between like tasting and drinking or something like that? And he said, the drinking starts when the thinking stops. And so I think that that's usually like how we treat it at work, because we do drink for two reasons. You know, we will drink for like quality assurance and quality control purposes. But then, you know, this is a product that we all love, mm-hmm. you know, that at the end of the day, hey, let's go downstairs, or let's go across the street, or let's go to the Brick, or let's go somewhere and have one of these things that we made and just talk about things that's not beer. But yeah, I get all the time, oh, you guys must be drunk all the day. Like, no, dude, we love this job way too much to do that.
That's, yeah, it's hard to function that way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't really do that.
No, not at all.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Those really good answers all the way around. I hope it wasn't too scathing.
That was great.
Awesome. Excellent, guys.
I mean, you know, him getting kicked out of the city now.
Right. Well, yeah. Only just, during the holidays. It's fine.
I've just started.
I'll just take Christmas off.
Gotcha.
December. Yeah. Use all my PTO.
Oh, Adam Hall, Kyle Kleiser, thank you both so very much for coming in.
Yeah, anytime.
Talking Boulevard. 2021 recap. Looking forward. This is great. This is great. Let's do it again.
We should.
Yeah. Same time next year.
When we can talk about some stuff next year.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like I said, if Allie were here,
I know.
I'd feel a lot better, but...
Yep.
That's it.
Let's just say we've got some really exciting things coming your way next year.
To the moon.
To the moon. And some exciting stuff on shelves right now. Go and get it. Enjoy your holidays.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.